Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
This is Laura Hansen, and you're listening to David Wood and The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Yes, it is. Hey there, everybody. How you doing out there? I just want to, again, always start with a little gratitude. I like the old gratitude. It's keeps me honest. keeps my focus in the right place. Feeling deeply grateful again for you listening in, and for all the kind words I hear on Facebook and the reviews on iTunes. Thank you so much. And I just want to really take a moment today. We had 9/11 just pass us, and I just want to sort of look back and sort of salute all the people that were involved in that. I remember I was in New York just after that happened, and it is incredible what human beings can do to each other. So just I know you've probably already done your moment of silence there, but as you go about your day to day, just take a moment and just focus a little bit of energy on that to say that hopefully mankind's a funny beast, because mankind seems to keep repeating the same things over and over again instead of learning from them. So as I sort of look at an incident like that, and I look at what sort of brings it about, what's the components of such an act, and you know, what's the sort of the heritage of thinking and the cultural exchange that goes on in each of these people as they grow up. You know, when you grow up in a world of extremism or hatred, when one culture has a disdain or a hatred or a, you know, a point of view of another. It's interesting how children grow up in that. And having lived in Israel for a year and spending time with both Israeli Arabs and Israelis themselves, and all levels, you know, whether they're Orthodox, which is more of the extreme sort of side of the Israeli culture, or the the sort of the extreme factions of the Arab side, it was really interesting being that middle ground, because I played on an Arab soccer team, and it was really fascinating because, you know, many of the Israeli Arabs, or Palestinians as they are sometimes called, depending on where you're at on this sort of conversation, you know, as you sat down with them and really heard their stories, a lot of them were really grateful for what they had, were grateful for what was provided for them and what their families, the kind of lives their families had. And as I traveled through Egypt, and other parts of the region, and it was evident that there was a lifestyle shift. But again, you know, I'm not getting into any politics here, and that's not this mandate of the show. But it is. I know that there's people listening. We have a lot of people in the Palestinian territories and in Israel and in different Arab countries around the world. I do reach out to. Obviously, if you're listening to this show, you have an open philosophy and open thought process, and that sort of idea that we can reach out of our situations and really and maybe do something unexpected. And I saw that, you know, I grew up in England, and when you saw the Irish crisis and between the Protestants and the Catholics there as well, there were many times where the Protestants and Catholic children were brought together to bond. And then to create friendships and understanding of the differences. Because really, truly what it is like having two different languages people are speaking. And it's that sort of that understanding. It's being able to stand in front of something that looks like one thing and have the depth of courage to stay in it long enough to fully understand it without the judgment, without the fear. So when I walk into cultures that I don't understand in the beginning, or I don't, you know, I don't agree with. That's a big one. You don't agree with a philosophy. You don't agree necessarily with the way that someone treats another human being. I could become part of the problem by having zero understanding, or zero tolerance, or zero compassion, or zero patience. Or I can step into there long enough and wait. And if you listen to my show that I did at the cockfight in Bali, I actually recorded it from a cockfight. Now, I don't agree with cockfighting at all. However, in Bali, it's a cultural part. It's a big part of their culture, even though it's illegal. I mean, they have like 500, 600, 700, 800 people at these, and including police officers out of uniform. But it's a very, very big part of the culture. So how do I understand the culture if I don't have the courage to step into something I don't agree with and at least try and understand it? Try and understand from a perspective of generations of something being passed through a lineage. And here I am to walk in there and say, well, I don't agree. That's wrong. And I think that's going to create a lot of our problems, you know, in the world. And when I look at, and I've been to a lot of regions where there's conflict. And hopefully with, in the beginning, I didn't have this tolerance or this openness. And so I know it's something that can be learned. I was ignorant. I was so ignorant. I didn't even know where these countries were on a map. I could not tell you. I remember actually when I was in Tunisia, which is in North Africa, again, another Muslim country. And by the way, I have had some of the most beautiful experiences in my life in the Muslim cultures. And been treated to some of the most exceptional hospitality that I've ever had. And so again, when I talk with reverence of both sides of a conflict, because I guarantee you, if you go into any conflict in the world and you go into both sides and you look at them, and that's the same when I talk about this, you can bring this down to your own conflicts, whether it's with your brother or your sister. A lot of you are carrying crap around, you know, parents or someone who's done you wrong. You know, how do you have the courage to take the same philosophy, this kick-ass philosophy, and bring it down to that human level where you can, you literally can step into a world where and attempt to understand it, attempt to really listen without allowing your own judgments to rise to the surface, to bubble up long enough to figure it out. And when you do, and what I found is when I did step in, for example, the cockfight, it became one of the highlights of our whole trip. Not that we agreed with the fighting of the cockerels, right? I mean, that was part of it. It was watching and talking to and listening and observing these people and what they were doing there, and why they were there, what it really meant to them, the hope that they had in the gambling process and the way they gambled. You know, there were so many things that we learned and walked away with, but it was days and days afterwards that experience was still reverberating inside of us. We were still talking about it as one of those exceptional moments because we allowed ourselves to step into something that was really foreign, that we absolutely disagreed with, that we didn't really necessarily want to be there. But there was a moment of choice. The moment of choice is, do I step in? And a lot of the times, you know, when I backpacked around the world, and remember, 10 and a half years, I traveled around the world and I put myself into some really unusual situations. And what I found, and in fact, I know I go off on tangents, so you have to put up with this. But what I found was I would often mirror, without giving up my identity, but just mirror the people around me. And if you listen to my show yesterday with Andrea Owen, you know, she's edgier, she's dropping the F-bomb, and she's like, you know, she's just a great lady. And you'll hear in my voice, it's edgier. I'm dropping some swear words myself. I didn't drop the F-bomb because, again, I know there's some of you out there that fans, and I don't mind. I use it. By the way, I'm not an angel here. I do use that word. But I realize that I have a choice not to have to use it on the show. However, I have no problem with Andrea expressing herself the way she does. And but what I do find is my producer, he said to me afterwards, he said, wow, he says, you sounded different. I said, well, no, I just was really enjoying to be with Andrea. That's who she is. And so it's much easier for me to show up in her world as she is and really have a conversation with her as she is, because I have that range. So I look at it within myself. If I went from, you know, the week before with the wonderful Don Miguel Ruiz, who's deeply spiritual and very silent and quiet, you'll hear in my voice a reverence and a similarity. How hard is that? How hard is it to walk through life and really be so observant of the person in front of you that you can, if you have personal range? It's not, I agree, there is a certain amount of mirroring involved. And that could be a sales from my sales training or whatever else like that. There's a mirroring involved, but there's a certain compassion involved or a certain humanity level involved where you can recognize that somebody is gentler or quieter or more spiritual, and that they speak a language that is something they understand. And if you have personal range, then the ability to step into the language of the person you're with and really speak it, which means observing them and respecting their point of view, respecting their level or their journey to that moment. Remember, that journey right up to that moment, that is what's created their way of showing up, their tempo, their language, the choice of words, their belief systems. And so when I'm in front of someone, I find it so easy to be able to go into that space inside me, because one of the things I practice, a kick-ass life, is living from 0 to 10. If you look at that as the range that we each live in, and I would say that of all the students I've trained, that most people are living between, you know, let's say a 4 and a 6 or even a 3 and a 5, even some, most people, is that they never really delve deeply into the spiritual, quieter, more gentle, meditative, you know, that kind of thing. They'll look at people like that and say, oh, you know, he's a yogi, or he's this, he's that, you know, he's a whatever. And they don't really go really wacky and crazy. You know, some of them walk around with a big pole up their bum and just sort of afraid to show up, afraid to take the makeup off, afraid to be seen as silly or imperfect. And so, you know, that kind of wild, crazy, adventurous, screaming, you know, and just doing goofy stuff, you know, I feel that that is one of our birthrights of living a kick-ass life, is discovering and living that range. And then it's choices. When you live in that kind of range, it means that when you're sitting with someone who's deeply spiritual and quiet, like a Don Miguel Ruiz, is that you can be in there and feel totally at home and comfortable and like you've come home. And if you were, you know, if you were with somebody on the other end of the spectrum, and you say Andrea, who really, I mean, she's up there in that sort of 7, 8, 9 kind of region where she's just full out, she's full bore, she's in her whole body, she's expressive. She even talked about it on the show about, you know, how society have kind of asked her to quieten down, and she's always sort of second guessed her energy. She's too big, she's too loud, she's too, you know, vulgar. And what does that mean, to be too vulgar? And one of the challenges that I would really give you is this idea that my nephew Joe, and I know he listens into some of the shows, my nephew is a good example of that, that he would, because he's covered in tattoos, he's a tattoo artist now, you know, he has piercings, and someone looking at him would, and he's edgy, would often misinterpret who he is, misinterpret that he's one of the most kind, beautiful, open-hearted, wonderful, you know, really passionate people on the planet. Yet, you know, in the beginning when he started out, I mean, some of it was armor, protect himself from environment because of some of the stuff that goes on in one's life. You know, some people show up. And that's what I see when I see, you know, someone, we saw a guy yesterday with a great big mohawk. It was red and just covered in piercings and tattoos. And the first thing I was thinking was first, I mean, I come and commented to my kids. I said, check out the hairstyle. Was really what went through my mind was, I wonder what his journey was. I wonder what brought him to this moment and how he's doing. I wonder, you know, where that crossroads hit where he decided to show up like that. Well, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, how he shows up is how he shows up. But I bet you a pound to anything that if I sat in front of him, I could talk his language. I could find a place inside of me where I could have that conversation with him. And I think each one of us can. So the challenge for each one of us, instead of moving into judgment every time we see something we don't understand, we really have a chance to move into a place inside of us and ask that question, can I go there? Do I have the courage to step into that place within myself? Because there's a place in you that is deeply spiritual and deeply quiet and deeply, you know, present. And there's a place in you that this wild, crazy, out there nutty animal that wants to dance around naked in the mud. And I often say that if you really are stuffy, and you know who you are, I mean, just stuffy, you're living in this kind of little box, and maybe your numbers are, you know, a four to five or something like that, but you're stuffy and everything has to look a certain way and you have to speak a certain way, and you're afraid to let your hair down because this is who you've decided to be in your world. I put your suit on and then go down to the river or a pond or somewhere where kids are playing and jump in with your suit on. Watch what happens and have some fun. I almost dropped the bomb there myself. Or roll down a hill in the mud and get really muddy. And just watch what happens. Watch what happens when you step into that level of insanity and start to laugh and do goofy, crazy, unexplainable things around a bunch of kids, around a bunch of people. I love that. It's just stepping in. What the hell was it? You can get your suit cleaned. So what's the risk? What's the risk of rolling down that hill? What's the risk of jumping off that dock into the water with your clothes on and your shoes on and everything? What's the risk? There's no risk. The risk, though, or the payoff, the thing you can get back, is monumental, because quite often, for the first time, you know, we do something that's so out of character that we discover our character, that we realize that, you know, I don't laugh enough. And I guarantee you, most people I know, and if you look at the stats of how many times a child laughs every single day, and how many, in contrast to how many times an adult laughs every single day, it is a sadness. It is so far apart. And how does that happen? How do we go from one thing to the other? How do we move from being this light, wonderful, present little kid to being this stuffy old adult that's afraid to do that? So, you know, I really want to say that the big challenge here, and if you hear my mind sort of wander off a little bit, I was thinking, I wonder if I've got a laughter track, you know, whether, I don't even know what this is, but it looks fun. I just went to iTunes and I thought, oh, look, I did found one. Oh, come on. You're driving, you're working out. Come on, have a little laugh. What's it going to cost you, right? But, you know, so if you hear my mind, sometimes I do that. I'll be on, I'll be speaking and I've got to go and get something from my, you know, I'll have to type something in and try and pull it up. But you know, I really urge you to think of these thoughts. But in saying that, let's get on a little bit with the show. I'm not sure where we're going today, as usual. Obviously, that all came up, and we'll probably stay with that theme. But I was going to read a couple of the reviews. And we're going to get some T-shirts made up, and we don't have them yet, so don't expect a T-shirt. But you can talk to me, and you know, we can keep talking about this. But I saw a couple of reviews on iTunes. This one's from Ashley McGee, September 11th. I wish I'd found your podcast sooner. I'm in love with every word and story you share. You have truly brought a new light to my life, and I look forward to hearing new podcasts. David makes life so enjoyable. Thank you for sharing. Now, I'm not selecting these. I just went in, I pushed in most recent. So, I mean, I could be reading anything right now. So it's a little weird to read something about me. Yeah, sometimes, but I don't care. I mean, that's what's up there, right? So I'm just reading what's there, you know. If it says something bad, I've read in the past. If one guy said, "Oh, he's really boring," I don't mind what you write. You know, write the truth. I would rather have the truth from you, and that you start stepping up into that truth than you trying to impress or anything like that. So this is awesome. I'm just going to read a couple more. This one's from Sizzlard, September 11th. My girlfriend and I are always anxious to listen to your new shows. I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan. He gives an idea about that. He says, "Keep up the awesome work, David. You really inspire us to change our way of thinking, how we treat people around us and our whole lives." This is what it's all about. You know, that even that little comment I just made right now, how much fun are you really having? Are you really, really, really having fun? And I guarantee you, most of us aren't. Most of us are not having enough fun every single day. This one's from Jeffrey Wright, September 8th, 2012. This is iTunes USA. He says, "I've been working my way through archives of this podcast since discovering it a few weeks ago. The content is fantastic. In fact, I can't just listen to it driving down the road. There are too many times I need to stop, rewind, and listen again. My journal is filling up with quotes from David or from the person he is interviewing. leaders are readers or listeners, as the saying goes. This is a must-listen podcast to anyone who's serious about personal development. Okay, good. And the reason I'm sharing these is because I want to sort of start letting you know that your voice is important. I want you to let you know that this is your show, not my show. I mean, I'm the captain of the ship a little bit, right? This is the vision I have. However, I want to get a million downloads and I want to get them fast. I want to reach a million people. So I want to how you can help me do that. How can you get more involved with helping us bring this to the world? Because, I mean, if you haven't listened to some of these things, now, I'm not saying every show is for everyone, but, you know, it's sometimes it's the one small nugget, the one small gem, the one small whatever that really truly can impact someone's thinking and the way they start to show up in the world. And that's the truth. So if you took it on personally, if you start getting involved in Facebook and join the Kick-Ass Live, start sharing it more, telling people the reasons why they have to listen to a show. So, you know, cut and paste from iTunes, the URL from the show that you love, and send it to your friends and say, hey, sit and listen to this. Why don't you subscribe to this? This would really help. And remember, there's no monetary gain for me for you doing this. This is purely for you and me to start to talk to more people. And the goal for me when I set up the show was to really reach around the world. And again, we're at 140 countries right now. We've been at 140 for a couple of weeks now. So I imagine we're sort of moving into a lot more. A lot of the rest of the countries are probably not any kind of English speaking in there. And that's probably why we're not seeing a lot of movement on that. But again, I'm not worried, but 140 countries, that's crazy. When you think that personally, I've traveled to about 56 countries. I'm not sure, but not that many. Anyway, so that's the reviews. And I want to share a quick story with you that, when we talk about this sort of showing up thing, I remember I've always said that I personally was this massive prover. And my whole life, I was so afraid. I was the kind of guy, if you phoned me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would pretend I was awake rather than let you know that I was asleep. You know, what's up, man? Yeah, I'm sleeping. Of course I'm sleeping. I'll be like, no, hello, before the phone rang. Hello, 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 hello. And I know I've told this once on the show before, but it's leading to a different story. So that whole massive prover thing where I was so afraid to be me, to show up fully in my own body. And so what is this authentic self really about? I get this kind of feeling inside of me. There's two me's. There's me that was born for a purpose. And I believe that each one of us is an absolute miracle and we're born for a reason. We're born for a higher purpose. There's some calling you have. You may not know what it is and you may be in the middle of your shit right now where there's so much stuff going on you can't see up and you don't believe a moment in your own outcomes. But I do believe that everything that's happened to me that was negative, and there's been a lot, is those were the things right now I look back on and say, thank goodness that happened to me. Thank goodness that crap happened. Thank goodness I went through that. Thank goodness I had to do that. Whether it was abuse, it didn't matter what it was. All those things right now, there's not a chance I would look back and say, I want to change them. But it's only when you get this side of those experiences, when you cross that bridge and you're this side looking back, that you can actually find a place inside of you that allows you to have that kind of awareness. So we have to keep moving. They say the only way to it is through it. And so I urge you to really start thinking about that kind of comment, the only way to it is through it. So if you're in the middle of it, if you're in the middle of something right now that doesn't make sense, then, you know, you've got to sort of start thinking that, you know, there's a reason this is happening. And anyone I work with, any of these great masters that I bring on the show, there's not a chance any of them would tell you anything differently. That the stuff that's happening to us is really happening for a reason. It's sharpening our sword only if we keep moving. A lot of us get stopped by it. We start to become the victim. You know, and that whole victim thing is such it doesn't matter where you focus, whether it's focusing too much on medicine, you know, your medicine chest every single day you wake up, you got a little of this, a little of that, you're putting crap in your body all the time. Now, again, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying it's focus, you know, and it's that whole victim thing where we start to feel like the world has done us wrong. And if that's happening with you right now or someone you know, maybe they need to listen to these words and then start to say, hey, All right. I take 100% responsibility for what everything in my life, everything not in my life. And then I step into a new place. I start putting good new things into my head, a new system of thinking, a new way of believing, and it will allow me to step through that. But so I want you, if you're in the middle of some stuff, and I had a friend call me this morning, Amanda, and she was talking about some stuff that's going on for her right now. You know, and it's great listening when you've been through so much. I can listen to something she's going through, and it's easy for me to say, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, you know, here's what I would do. And because I've been down that road, I understand that, you know, we do heal as human beings, you know, and if our heart gets broken, guess what? It will heal as long as we have that mindset and we realize that we can feel fully the devastation of a broken heart. But guess what? On the other side of that broken heart is another love, is a new space. There's something else that's juicier. There's something that's more wonderful, you know, and those things will always be there. But a lot of us get stuck, you know, crap happens and we start to shrink. Crap happens and we start to feel the victim. Boom. Crap happens and we slow down. Crap happens, we accept our lot. Crap happens, and guess what? We just sit there and we wallow in it and we just bathe in it. And then what we do, we start puking it out of our own mouths and we start attracting people just like us. That is not the way your life has to be. And they'll come. Conversely, the other side is this. Crap happens, guess what? We feel it. Crap happens, guess what? We feel it fully. We experience the whole emotion of what that is. Crap happens, guess what? We deal with it. Crap happens, then what? We take a step. We move towards the things we want in our life. We move towards another outcome. So if you've gone from crappy relationship to crappy relationship to crappy relationship, by example, right? Now it's time to stop that. It's time to stop that habit. You understand what's going on. You understand who your being is attracting what you're getting. So our outer world is a complete mirror of the inner world that we are creating. So what do we work on first? We work on us. So if you're in that kind of mode and you're afraid to be alone, you know who you are, all right? So then take some space, all right? Dump the things that are bad for you, including him if you need to, right? Find some space. Start working on you. Start having a new conversation, a new story in your head. And then watch what happens. As you step into that new story, then new people will show up. As you let go of the negative, the positive shows up. The world, the universe, your God, however you express it, abhors a vacuum. We create a vacuum and it's going to rush in and fill it. So when we create space for the magic and the miracles to happen, they will happen. You know, and I'm not the woo-woo kind of guy. You don't hear me talking about that stuff a whole lot, the miracles of life and all that kind of thing. But I do believe that this is a wonderful world and that there is so much beauty to be had. You know, and I think of this, Louis Armstrong, you can't hear this song. What a wonderful world. Without really, really, let those words go in. Think of the wonderful people, the wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow. Yeah, everything you can be grateful for each day. The people you can reach. The lives you can touch. Friends holding hands. Saying, how do you do? You know, and so then as we sort of look at this, as we wrap up this show, you know, we really then have this opportunity to really take this responsibility on seriously now and to start saying, you know, what is a kick-ass life? What is it to be authentic, to live in our bodies fully, to discover that range? That's your homework. Play in the range. If you don't have that spiritual bone in your body, go join a meditation class. Go to yoga. Get deeper inside yourself. Spend some time in solitude and really go and sit under a tree. I used to love doing that when I was young. Sit under a tree and just look up at the leaves and just look at the space between the leaves. Look at the space between things. It's the space between the notes that create the music. It's the space between the words that create the sentences. It's the space between the leaves that create the beauty in the trees, right? So look at that space and fall into that space and then get into that. And again, if you're really stuffy and you don't have a lot of fun, go to a comedy club. Go and go throw a party, you know, go jump in a lake with your clothes on, do something absolutely out there that's wacky for you, and just then take your pulse and see if you died. You know, oh no, I didn't die. And see how much you can laugh. See how many times you can laugh this week. See how much range you can play in this week. Go for it. Go for your range. You're worth it. You are worth the range. You are worth the energy to actually allow yourself to have that. And the impact you're going to have on your friends, on your family, on your kids, on your grandkids, on everyone around you, just by showing up, just by being bigger. Hug first. Remember, everyone's waiting for someone else to go first, to hug first, to laugh first, to reach out first. I said that to my son yesterday, Cal. I said, hey, Cal, you know what? Just say hello. Start with hello at school. Just say hello to people. And he says, oh, you really think that's going to change my life? I said, yeah, I really do. I really think that's going to change your life, because that's where it all starts. Someone has to go first. Somebody has to have the courage, all right? And I want you to go first in your life. I want you to step into your full range as a human being. And I want you to start laughing more, loving more, crying more, dancing more. I want you to start sitting quietly more, taking those moments, loving more, cherishing more, cuddling more, kissing more. You know, do some kissing today. Mwah! All right? And thanks for being on the show. I send my love. And remember, write your reviews. Share the show. Share it with someone. Share it with five of your best friends. Get them in the show. Get them listening. Speak to you soon. Have a good one.
That was kick-ass.